Morning. Good to see each one out this morning. We have a lot of things going on. Here, noticed there's that things happen. You ever focus on something? You ever see something? Even this morning, all sorts of things. Uncle Jim left. Anybody notice that? Yeah? Did you notice Brad just sneezed? Anybody? How about a couple of children talking? You know, making some noise. They're talking. Anybody notice that? Yeah. And I was just going to say, Robbie raised his hand. Those dealing with that particular child noticed it, right? Not saying anything of that for a bad at all. Saying that because there are things that take our focus. There are things that sometimes we look to or we see. Sometimes it's intentional, sometimes it's not intentional. Sometimes it's helpful, sometimes it's not helpful. You see people get up and help Uncle Jim, that's encouraging. Who's 98 years old. I was going to point that out this morning. I went and talked to him this morning. I missed his birthday last Sunday. But pretty amazing, actually. And that he's still here and he still comes. And even all the things that he goes through, but he's still here. That's something you can focus on, that you can see. Today being Veterans Day. Again, that's a good thing that we can focus on. Of things, of people that have served, and we're thankful for that. That the election is over. You know, all sorts of things you can go through. They stopped calling my house, my phone, my everything. It's good. I like it. But this morning, let's turn to Colossians, the third chapter, and this will be the text we'll look at this morning, the first four verses, and nothing very exciting as far as new. They're not going to bring out any new revelation, which everyone is glad to hear. So, but we will talk about a few things. It's hard to live in a world where you're not affected by it. And that's why I pointed out all these little things that happen. It's hard to, you know, this. I've even fixed this board down here by underneath my feet, but it's still, can you hear that? And that still affects me, even though I know it's there. And it's nobody's fault. I've tried too. I know several other people have tried. That nail's gone, so that's good. But see, that focuses something on something that's not helpful, right? And so as we're in the world, living in the world, it's hard to not be affected by that, by the things of the world. And 1 John, the second chapter, a very familiar passage, verses 15 through 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. And so, do not love the things in the world. But that's hard. That's very, very difficult because we're surrounded by it. By surrounded by the things and all of those things that passage just mentioned, we're bombarded with daily. We can probably all think of people who care about who who we care about, actually. When they become like other people of the world. We know somebody that at one point was doing what God wants them to do, and then at another point, because they've been influenced by all the things of the world, by others in the world, they're no longer that way. become just like everyone else in the world. And so I want to talk about this morning, if we want to live in the world without becoming like the world, we have to change our focus. It's deer season and people go out and they sight in their guns so that they can focus on their target. You have people that drive and they focus on their driving, hopefully. Because if you don't, not going to turn out very well. Sometimes people miss focusing like they should because they're focusing narrow, up close, instead of far. Or sometimes they're focusing far but not close. Colossians, the third chapter, in the first four verses. It says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Okay, so there's the text. Now, since we've been raised with Christ, the first verse there, the very first part of that, our lives should look different. When people look at us, when we look at ourselves, it should look different. If then, and it starts off with a great big if then, move that. Okay. If then you are raised with Christ. And then drop down to verse 3 and 4. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. If you're raised with Christ, if you do those things, then your lives should look different. It should look different than other people. In Colossians, the second chapter, in verse 11, as Christians, there's to be something different about our lives. In him, you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Talking about what happens in Christ specifically. Verse 12, buried with him in baptism, in which also you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. So now that's specifically talking about the old law. Nailed it to the cross. It was things that don't go hand in hand with the church, with the way. And so because of that, it was taken away. See, and what that says is the focus used to be, we'll just call it the old law, the Ten Commandments, as people would call it today. The old law. That was the focus. And then Christ came, and it says, if then you were raised with Christ, because now no longer is it that, now it's this. And so the focus changed. It changed from the old to the new. And what you have in today's world is you either have people that don't focus on either of those things. You have people that focus on the one. You have people that focus on both. And you have very, very, very few that focus on Christ, the new. But that's what we're supposed to do. Because those things in verse 14 were taken away. They were made different. It was replaced, if you will. In Romans, again, another very familiar passage in Romans, the 6th chapter in verses 3 and 4. The Apostle Paul says, do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into the death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And that's the last point, is what I was trying to get to. Walk in newness of life. Our lives are to be different. Our focus is to be different. Not to be like it used to be. Not like, you know, the old law. Not even the way it used to be, it was just being a good person. But if you're raised with Christ, if your life is hidden with Christ in God, then our focus needs to be different in this world. In Galatians, the second chapter, Galatians 2 and verse 20, our lives should not reflect those of the world, our lives should reflect that of Christ. Galatians 2 and verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So again, talking about our lives. Our lives are different. They're to be changed. And the only way to continually to do that, sure, we can initially change our lives, but in order for us to stay on that path, we have to change our focus. We have to change our way that we look at things in the world. And in our lives, I guess. Secondly, if we change our focus, we will change our desires. And this one's hard. Again, because we are being bombarded by things to want, trying to be influenced of what our desires are to be. In the second part of Colossians 1 and verse 1, the second part of that verse says, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Seek the things that are above. What is above? What is there? What is there for us to look for? Let's turn to Luke, the 12th chapter. Luke chapter 12. We'll begin reading in verse 13. Luke 12, verse 13. It says, then one from the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But he said to him, man, who made me a judge or an arbiter over you? And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. I get that. One's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? See, it wasn't the crops, even. It was the abundance. See, because he just said, consist in the abundance of the things. See, he was concerned about the abundance, not about what he had. Verse 18, so he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? And so he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. His focus was wrong. And we can say he left God out and all those things, but he was thinking about the abundance. He wasn't thinking about the blessing necessarily that he was getting from God. He was thinking about the abundance of what he had. That's what he was focusing on. And so his desire was for that abundance. And we have to be careful that that doesn't become our desire as well, because this world is constantly bombarding us with that thought. In 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, in verses 9 and 10, Paul here writing to Timothy says, "Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved the present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Cretans for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Come to me, because Demas has forsaken me, but here's why. Having loved this present world, the desires of this world caught up to his life. And because of that, he left Paul." A very thing that would be difficult. You imagine if you were going through a hard time and somebody turned their back on you, how hard that would be just by itself. He had lost his focus, Demas. Matthew, the 26th chapter. Matthew chapter 26 and verses 14 through 16. Here we have Judas. Kind of interesting, the character Judas. And the more you think about him, the more interesting it becomes, I think. As I read this, different thoughts came into my mind. But Matthew 26 verses 14 through 16 says, "Then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went to the chief priests." So he actually went himself and said, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?" And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. So Judas's focus, he focused off of Jesus specifically as the Savior, as his shepherd, as his leader, as the master, and he focused on what can I get? What desire can I have to fulfill my life? And they said 30 pieces of silver, and he accepted that. But it's interesting, it says there, so from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. I never thought about the fact that he was looking for an opportunity. And so maybe they were someplace, and he's like, "Yeah, no, this isn't it. How about that? Well, no, this isn't a good time either. Well, how about, no, that's not a good time." He's looking for the opportunity. He's focusing on betraying Jesus. His focus was on that. From that moment, that's where his focus was. He totally missed who Jesus was. He totally missed what Jesus was doing. He totally missed all of the things for himself. And his desire now was the opportunity to betray Jesus. That's where his focus was. He changed his focus. Now, I doubt that any of us have that type of focus ever, that we're deciding to betray Jesus, that we're deciding to just turn away. I mean, we're looking for the right opportunity so we can run out the door and we'll be gone forever. I doubt that's the case. But we can change our focus. We will start seeking after things of more significance than just our physical desires. Judas went the wrong way on his focus. We need to focus on Jesus, on things that are above. Going back to Colossians 3, go to the third point. If we change our focus, we will change our thoughts. Changing our thoughts. And that's hard sometimes. Harder than others. Verse 2 says, "Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth." Focus on things that are above, not things upon the earth. Philippians, the 4th chapter, no better passage to go to, I don't think, that will talk about our thought process, the things that we need to concentrate on, to focus on. And we are responsible for the things that we think about. Philippians 4 and verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate or think on these things." Can you imagine if you had that little list and you had it written down or on your phone or however it is, and it's about this long, and it goes down through there and it says those things in pure, noble, good report, you know, all of those things. And any time you go to think about something, you look at that list and say, well, does it fit? And if it doesn't, then don't think about it. And you look at, and you're going to think about something, and you look down at that list, and you say, does it fit? And it doesn't, so you don't think about it. Imagine that. First of all, it'd take you a long time to think. But maybe that would be a good thing. Again, another very familiar passage in Romans, the 12th chapter, and we usually read verses 1 and 2, but I just want to read verse 2. If we want to change the way we live, we must change the way we think. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't be conformed. I mean, that's what the world wants. That's what Satan wants. That's what his followers want. That's what the, you know, everybody wants. Just all be the same. That you follow what I want you to do, and this is it, the world. We must change the way we think if we want to change the way we live. And actually, as I thought about this, this is actually backwards. Because our thoughts have to be changed so that our desires will be changed so that the way that we live will be changed. It goes that way. It's our choice. You know, that's not what I wanted. Craig said something in his lesson Sunday night, and I typed it on my phone, which is why I'm looking there. He said, sin is obvious because we trained our mind to see it. You know what? Sin isn't all that obvious sometimes if our mind is not trained to see it. So he was talking about focus, and I told him, I went up to him, I was like, ooh, that's good. I need that for today. Sin is not obvious unless we train our mind. We have to train our mind to focus on sin so we know where it is, what it is. We need to focus on what is right so we know what it is. Now, not focus on sin so we go that direction, but that so we can recognize it. And another thing he said something about the exit. Heading for the exit. And that reminded me of Mario Kart. And what did you do? You head for the exit. Once you get all the things, you head for the exit. And that's kind of like, I see that as life and heaven. And what you do when you're playing that game is you're watching for the obstacles. And there's all kinds of obstacles around. And some of the obstacles are the other players. The other people in the world. And you have to go around. Everybody get that? Get the focus on that? There you go. See how easy it is to be distracted? That's how it is in life. You have these obstacles in this game. Some of them are true obstacles. Some are thrown at you. Some are other players. Some are just things in the way. And you try to avoid this to get to the exit. And I equated the exit with heaven. Trying to make it to heaven. And there's all sorts of obstacles. And there's things that you have to focus on and not focus on. Many people travel through this life focused on the wrong things. They're focused on the earthly things and not the eternal things. They're focused on the things that pass away, not the things that last forever. Let's remember in Philippians, the third chapter, in verses 20 and 21, that our citizenship is not this world. It's in heaven. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. If we change our focus, we can change our lives. If we change our lives, we can change our eternity. And that can go both ways. That can change our focus and our lives to go to the wrong way, or change our focus and our lives to go to the right. Heaven or hell, it's our choice. So consider these things this day. Consider where your focus is. Consider whether or not you're doing that which is pleasing to God. Consider if your thoughts and your desires, so therefore your life, is on the right path to heaven. If not, we want to help you to make your life right this morning. As the song we're about to sing says, why not now? There is no better time than now, because it's the only one that we know that we have for sure. If we can help you in any way this morning, won't you let us know as we stand and sing this song?